Hear the word of the Lord from the 37th chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our God who reveals himself to us in his holy word, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews introduces his message at the very beginning of his book. What he had to say to his readers was rooted in revelation which came from God. God has really spoken through his prophets. He has made his word known to the human race, and he did this many times in the past, and he did it in various ways in the past. He employed many whom he chose to function as his prophets, those who received and faithfully communicated the revelation which God gave to them. Revelation came from God at various times. From the Garden of Eden to the time of the Flood to the Age of the Patriarchs to the time of the Exodus from Egypt to the Golden Age of David and Solomon and on through the centuries to that moment in history which St. Paul calls the fullness of time when the decree went forth from a Roman emperor named Caesar Augustus. And that decree sent a Jewish couple named Mary and Joseph on a journey to Bethlehem for the ultimate revelation of God among men. Revelation came from God in various ways. It came at times in voices from the heavens, accompanied by dramatic displays of the power of God in nature, and at times in still small voices one would not recognize as revelation from God. It came in connection with the appearance of angels in dreams and visions in the mouth of a donkey, in a hand writing on a wall, in the deeds of prophets by which they acted out the meaning of their message. The various ways God used to give his revelation culminated in his taking to himself human flesh and walking as a man among men. God spoke by many who were called prophets. And what a cast of characters it was who functioned as those who received and faithfully communicated the revelation that God had given them. They were people of high position among men and people of very humble circumstances. They were people who were happy to be prophets of God, who eagerly said, Here am I, send me, in response to God's call, but they were also people who were very reluctant to be prophets, who complained and said, in effect, why me? Send somebody else. That office of prophet culminated in the one described by the writer to the Hebrews as the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. The Christ was and is God the Son. Today's reading is a striking example of a revelation from God at a specific time, in a distinctive manner, and through the agency of an outstanding prophet. The time was the time of the exile, In the 6th century before Christ, thousands of people of Judah were forced by the Babylonian Empire to leave their homeland and were resettled hundreds of miles away in a foreign land. Their beloved city, Jerusalem, and its central structure, Solomon's Temple, were demolished. The prophet Ezekiel was among the first to be sent away from the homeland. He was a man with a very distinctive style of communication. His fascination with elaborate descriptions of visual images sets him apart among the prophets. Many times he says, "The word of the Lord came to me." The manner of revelation in chapter 37 of his prophecy is a vision which God showed him, accompanied by interpretations provided by God. Ezekiel says that the hand of the Lord came upon him and took him by the Spirit. God grabbed him and put him down in a place that must have caused his flesh to crawl with horror. The hand of the Lord set him down in a valley which was covered with the bones of human beings. The prophet says that the Lord caused him not just to take a quick look at the ghastly scene and then be done with it, but he made him go back and forth and back and forth among the skeletons covering the floor of the valley. It was as though God was rubbing Ezekiel's nose in the gruesome scene. "Do you get the picture here, Ezekiel?" God was saying to him. The prophet noted that the bones were very dry. The scene was utterly devoid of life. And then God posed a question to the prophet. He addressed Ezekiel as the Son of Man. "Son of Man," God said, "can these bones live?" And the prophet must have been utterly flabbergasted by the question. He didn't know what to say except to acknowledge that God alone knew the answer. And then the Lord gave him a command. "Prophesy. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Maybe you sung about what happened next. The head bone connected to the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone, and so on. The bones came back together, and they were covered with flesh and skin. Breath came into them, and they rose to their feet, a mighty army. The point was that when God commands his prophet to speak his word, that word is powerful and life-giving. It has the power to undo the devastations worked by sin, the power of the devil, and the curse of the law. God sent forth his word through his prophet into the very picture of human despair and hopelessness, and that word gave life and hope. Ezekiel's time and place are far removed from our time and place, but his message endures across the centuries. God's way of working among men is the same. The word of the Lord goes forth among those who realize our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. And to them, a gracious God says, "I will put my spirit in you, and you will live." Day after day, week after week, throughout this school year, by the grace of God, the faithful have gathered in this holy space to hear the word of the Lord. And also in our time and in our place, the revelation of God goes forth by his authority to make us mindful, first of all, that apart from his grace, we too must be forced to say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. But thanks be to God, he also says, "I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it." Blessed are you in the hearing of these things. Among our prayers today, we make intercessions, first of all, for professor and colleague Dr. John Bobel, who recently underwent surgery, and for those who will be traveling soon, and for all of us in our spiritual need. Let us all pray. Gracious God and Lord, we thank you for bringing your servant, John Bobel, safely through his surgery and for providing him with the proper medical attention. According to your will, grant him a quick and complete recovery. In the coming days, be with those who travel. Send your holy angels to guard and protect them from all danger. By the work of your Holy Spirit, you have called us into your kingdom of grace. Preserve us in the blessed truth of your saving word, that we may someday stand before your throne in the eternal reunion of your saints. We ask it all in the name of your Son, our Redeemer. Amen.